Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Kokomi. We're so delighted that you're with us, whether you are in person or online. You might have noticed that I am not Michael, nor am I Bishop K. You've had a lot of guests lately with Janice Jones. I am actually Janice Krause, and I'm here today as your supply priest, and Michael will be back next week, but we're so glad that you're with us. We're vamping just a little bit because we have some folks who have volunteered to be our lay leaders and are still dusting. So I just wanted to let you know that we are going to wait just a second to allow them to do that. But I hope everybody has a bulletin and can follow along. And when we start, we will have hymn number 304, Land of Rest. So give us just a couple more minutes. It takes a while to find that. We'll be with you in a moment.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of the word.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people of Israel, "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." The word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 25, verses 1 through 9 by half verse. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you.
Let me not be humiliated, or let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame.
Let the treacherous be disappointed in your schemes.
Show me your ways, O Lord,
and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions.
Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Gracious and upright is the Lord.
Therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble in doing right. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness
to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, the priest passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Now, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said to him, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I've heard that we have a couple of folks who are with us on Zoom today due to a positive COVID test. So Rufus and Sandy, we miss you, and Sandy, we're praying for you to get well soon. So when I hear of COVID-19, naturally I think of the virus. But lately when I hear of COVID-19, I've been thinking more and more about the 19 pounds I put on since COVID. To lose some of those pounds, I've been trying a tip that many have said would help make losing weight successful. And that is to write down everything that I eat, to keep a diary of food. Now, I thought this would be a piece of cake. I'm a pretty healthy eater. I mean, I only drink wine on Sundays, and if there's a free craft beer night at the ballpark. And I do love my salads, and we love to grill fish, so I didn't think this would be a big deal. Well, imagine my surprise when I read over my diary and saw what I actually eat. Oh my gosh. It turns out that what I think I do and what I actually do are two different stories. Which brings me to today's gospel lesson. It's a familiar story about the Good Samaritan that many have heard of so often that you can probably narrate the story yourself. We know the story so well because the lesson is foundational to our faith. And sadly, it's because it's a lesson we need to hear over and over and over again. This is a parable about a lawyer who knows Scripture really well. And he's asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus answers him by pointing him to Scripture, back to law, to the greatest commandment. And you all know the greatest commandment, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with everything that you have, with all that you are. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, next week we're going to hear via Martha and Mary about the loving God part of the command. But this week we learn a little more about the loving our neighbor command. Because loving our neighbor is something we're supposed to do, right? And if I ask, many folks would guess that they're pretty good at loving their neighbor. But I wonder if we really do. I imagine that there are times when we fall into the traps that befell the folks who passed the beaten, left for dead man. Sometimes we might fall into the trap of that the lawyer fell into by even asking the question, who is my neighbor? What he's really trying to flesh out is, who isn't my neighbor? Help me to limit this pool of people so that I can corral just those who are my neighbor. Because it would be quite daunting to take chocolate chip cookies to the whole world or write Christmas cards to everybody. But the lawyer sees a fence to corral certain people into, a limited number of people into, to call a neighbor. And Jesus tells them, there is no fence. Look instead at your neighbor. See your neighbor, not a fence. Now, one of the many reasons that we know that Jesus wants us to call everyone a neighbor is because he has the Samaritan, not the priest or the Levite, have compassion on the wounded traveler. There are three times that our gospel writer Luke uses the word moved with compassion, or in our translation, moved with pity. It is an example of how God would act. Jesus says it earlier in Luke, and later in Luke, the father of the prodigal son, who is figuratively God in these stories, acting as God's agent, says, moved with compassion. And so here is the Samaritan, a person that Jews think is incredibly unclean. They showed promise. A Samaritan is a mixed marriage. They have married a pagan, and so they've chosen to walk away from the promise of their faith to marry an unclean person. So they're almost worse than others who have never known Scripture. And yet is this lowly person who acts on behalf of God, acts as God would have us all act, as Jesus acts. That Jesus incorporates all of God's children, even the Samaritan, into the definition of neighbor. Do we? The second area where we might find ourselves tripped up is in defining our neighbor as only those folks deserving our help. Let's face it, everybody knew not to travel on that dangerous road alone. I mean, it is 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho down a steep, treacherous, mountainous, 3,000-foot elevation road. It is a highway of thieves. And yet that traveler took the risk and went down that road. And so we wonder, is it his fault? Does he deserve our help? And how often do we say that about our neighbors? Why are you begging for money at the intersection? Get a job. No wonder you got into trouble. Look at the way you're dressed. Jesus does not separate the deserving from the undeserving. I know I've received Jesus' mercy when I absolutely did not deserve it. Jesus showers mercy on everyone. Do we? Sometimes we look at the fence and not our neighbor. But sometimes we have compassion for only those that we judge as deserving. But thirdly, sometimes we only love the neighbor who looks like us. The traveler was stripped and beaten. It would not be easy for the churchgoers, the priest and the Levite, to recognize if he was from their congregation, their town, their social structure. Was he even a peer? It's naturally easier to relate to those who were flooded in New Orleans than those who were flooded in Afghanistan. We're quicker to help people who look like us, talk like us, act like us. But Jesus doesn't differentiate. Do we? This parable is well known for its simplicity, meaning, and importance to understanding how to live as a Christian. Yet as much as we try to love our neighbors for various and valid reasons, we sometimes fall short. We need to be reminded and encouraged over and over again. I wonder how well we actually love our neighbor versus how well we think we do. Just as I thought I was eating better than I actually do, do we think that we love our neighbors better than we really do? And so I have a challenge for you. See, this is one of the joys of being a supply priest. I can preach a difficult sermon to you all and leave, and you can't get mad at me because I'll not be back. But here's a challenge for you. Take the rest of the summer, till September 1st, and keep a diary of how well you love your neighbor. Write down those times, those acts of mercy, those times of compassion, and maybe those times when you didn't have as much compassion for somebody. Think about who you consider your neighbor to be. Whom are you helping? Whom are you not helping? And see in black and white how we really act and how we can better follow the commandment that Jesus gives us to go and do likewise, to go and show mercy to all people, no fences allowed, to have compassion on those you think are deserving and for those whom you do not. Or better yet, don't judge whether they deserve or not. Just have compassion. And lastly, be moved with pity for those who don't look or act like you. For if we are to be neighbors, to be good neighbors, to follow the second commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, we must be like the Good Samaritan, like Jesus, and do acts of mercy for all of God's people. And as our collect of the day says, may we know and understand what things we ought to do and give us grace and power to faithfully accomplish them. Good luck with your challenge.
Prayers of the People. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let the light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Anne, John, David, Jane, Patty, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Sandy, Maureen, Greg, Janet, Chris, and Rufus, RG, Carol, Sarah, Joey, and Alan, George, the Degater family, Martha and family. Are there others? And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James and Reed, Kevin and Brian, Jared, Chris, Jonathan, and Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for those who are traveling this week, especially Allison, Sherry, and Michael Long, who are in New Orleans, and Ben Long in Cincinnati. Are there others? We pray for all who have died. We pray in thanksgiving for Money Adams, who celebrates his birthday this week.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor, saying together, Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand as you're able. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You may greet one another in peace.
Thank you.
Immediately following the service, you are invited to the parish hall. Unfortunately, if you're on Zoom, you can come with us in spirit. We'll be thinking about you. But those in attendance, come on over to the parish hall for some coffee and snacks. They had beautiful snacks when I was here the other week, and I'm sure it's the same again this week. And then we also have a Bible study if you would like to join us, or if you just want to sit around and chat, that would be great too. The emails are wonderful, the weekly emails that keep you up to date. Don't forget to look at your bulletin for all the other announcements. Now, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Alleluia! The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. With grateful hearts, together let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with the spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May the blessing of the God of Abraham and Sarah, and of Jesus Christ, born of our sister Mary, and of the Holy Spirit, who broods over the world as a mother over her children, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Please stand as you're able and join in singing hymn number 344.